Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Once again, you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. And tonight, or today rather, tonight, where did I get that from? It's early morning. Anyway, maybe I want it to be nighttime. Or maybe I'm wishing I could go to bed back. Anyway, whatever. In either case, we have a topic today. We're going to be talking about what you guys came to listen to. And that's about the discipline of the Lord. What does that look like? What does that mean? And do I have to receive that? Do I have to be disciplined? If I'm actually okay, is it necessary for me to get that sort of thing? Well, the only way of being able to talk about this is to be have some experiences in it. And I have the king of undiscipline with me in the studio today. He's not even paying attention. He's marking his Bible. I've got Joel in the studio with me. Good to have you, bro.
Good to be here.
I couldn't even get a response. He knew that I was just saying those things anyway. So anyway.
I knew you were going to say something.
Yes, yeah. It always happens. So anyway, so we came up. Or you had mentioned to me yesterday, say, hey, let's talk about the discipline of the Lord. And that's just how you left it. Now, what were you thinking about when that came up? How did that come about?
A dream, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking of a subject.
That's nothing wrong with that because yeah. Joseph got a dream, right? Daniel explained of the dreams. And
yeah.
So, anyway,
I was thinking of a subject and, you know, in my dream, you know, someone asked me, hey, Joel, what is discipline? And I started telling them about the discipline of the Lord, and everyone in the room got real bored real quick and didn't want to hear about it anymore. So let's hope it doesn't go like that.
Well, you know what the thing is that we can't see them anyway, right?
Oh, so then it doesn't matter?
A person doesn't receive it, they don't receive it.
I guess not.
You know, but we're going to speak the truth because we're going to go with what the Word of God talks about and what it is. So in this case here, when we're talking about God's discipline, you want to explain that?
God's discipline, yeah. So the Lord disciplines us because he loves us. You know, he disciplines us as children because he loves us. If we start doing something bad, think about a child who's doing something bad. You know, they're lying or they're stealing. You know, you're going to discipline them. You're going to spank them. You're going to put them in a timeout because they need to know that what they're doing is wrong. Well, the Lord does the same thing. If we're living life in sin, he's going to discipline us, whether it be by taking things away from us like family or job, whether it be by feeling separation from him, we're going to feel discipline from the Lord. And sometimes it's going to be pretty harsh, and it's going to be because he wants us to change our behavior.
Ah, so he's trying to get our attention is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. He's trying to get our attention so that we would actually pay attention and maybe not even do some of the things that we thought we needed to be doing, right?
Or just wanted to be
or
doing.
Or wanted to be doing.
I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing it.
You know, Scripture is clear about this, and both of us have quite a bit that we've pulled up and everything. But once again, here's the deal. We may know what Scripture says. We may know that this is wrong, and yet we still don't look at it the way that he wants us to look at it sometimes. But sometimes we need to be mindful of the fact that somewhere along the line, eventually, walking this walk with Christ, you can only fake it so long, right? Somewhere along the line, the rubber's going to meet the road. You're going to have to make a decision to continue following him or not. And the not means that all of a sudden, okay, you're probably going to get more discipline at that time to try to get your attention because you are created for a purpose, right?
Yes.
And so anyway, so Proverbs 3, I'm just going to go there and just kind of kick this off on when it comes to this sort of thing. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, it says in the ESV, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who loves, whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Now, I remember growing up, my dad, it was only my brother and I, and my dad used to, if my brother did something and I didn't do anything, I would still get spanked also. I think he meant everyone's, it's equal across here, which was actually kind of smart, because then you try to talk your brother out of not doing anything because I'm going to get hit also. And it worked the other way around too, right? But I'll never forget my dad. He would discipline us with a belt if he had one handy. This is back in the day when, you know, everyone saw a father spanking their child. It was not, they weren't going to call the police. Nowadays, you can't do that sort of thing practically. But my point being is that my dad would spank us, right? And we'd be crying or we'd be yelling, whatever, you know, like bloody murder, right? And as a result of that, my dad would say something. He says, "If you only understood that I do this because I love you." And I said, "Well, don't love me so much," you know, we would yell out or something.
Your love hurts.
Yeah. Don't want to have to do that sort of thing. So when I first heard about this in the Bible, I recall back to what my dad used to say to us all the time. You know, it's like he did not want us to hurt. I mean, he would actually, after he spanked us, we left us in the room. He'd leave the room with the door closed, right? And, you know, we're crying and going, "Oh, man, we're just not liking this guy at all," right? And he would come back in almost in tears every time. And he'd hold me. He'd hold my brother. He says, "I love you guys," you know. But it was so hard to understand. I said, "I'm crazy here," you know.
Now, you see, that was a lot different than what I received growing up.
Well, that wasn't every time. I think there was when there was guilt and maybe how much he applied the discipline.
And see, I received a lot of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed in you. Well, I'd never really received much discipline growing up.
Hmm.
You know, I was told that I'm disappointed in you. And as a child, it's like, well, okay, but I did what I wanted to do and I got away with it. So I guess I can do this again. And so I lived my life that way because I did not receive much discipline growing up.
Yeah.
I kept going down the wrong path until finally things just kept getting worse, getting into fights, you know, armed robbery almost at one point, you know, being assaulted, pistol whipped because of the life I was living. Mm-hmm. It was a horrible life because I did not receive discipline.
Right.
I was not made to know that this kind of stuff is not okay. I knew it was not okay, but I'd never received discipline growing up.
Right. Right.
So that's the kind of life I lived. And the Lord doesn't want us going down that path.
Nor does he want any of those that he loves to go down that path. He loves our children.
He does.
Okay. And he wants them to be able to come to know him. And, you know, part of it is that we sit there and we just, again, today's world, things are different today than how they used to be. And but there are things that can be done. My dad may have taken things to extreme in some cases, but there was a fear that if we got caught doing something that we were going to be reprimanded. We didn't call reprimand or discipline. We call it we're going to be hit, you know. And we do crazy things like my brother and I, after my mom would say, "Okay, you guys go to your room because when your dad gets home, he's going to be talking to you." Well, he didn't do much talking when that happened. He usually opened the door upset because of what had taken place, right? But my brother, we used to hide the belts, all the belts of the house, even in my mom and dad's closet and drawers. We'd hide the belts. My brother at one time even put a small fry pan underneath his Levi's on his backside. My dad actually turned him around real quick and he hit the fry pan, which made it even more mad, you know.
But, oh, I bet.
You know, but down the road, it was a story to be told, and we laughed about all the time as we were older and stuff. But the fact is that when it comes to the Lord's discipline for us, It can come in many different ways, and sometimes we're confused whether this is discipline or if this is punishment, in a sense, right? And we can be confused when it comes to that sort of thing.
We can. You know, we might be living a life of sin, and we might be receiving the Lord's discipline.
Yeah.
Other times we might be living what we think is a good life,
yeah,
and we might be being punished for something. And so we need to try and discern, is this the Lord's discipline?
Yes.
Or is this simply life coming,
yeah,
at me?
Yeah.
Or is this simply earthly consequences, mm-hmm, for something I'm doing that, mm-hmm, you know, necessarily isn't discipline from the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are earthly consequences we have to deal with here in this life.
Right.
You know,
right,
you'll get cancer for smoking cigarettes. You won't necessarily get disciplined,
mm-hmm,
from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just the way life goes.
Yes. Yeah. And those are, you know, along with the other things that take place when we pay attention and listen to the things that maybe we need to avoid because they have harmful effects, okay, on us. When we are disciplined that way, we actually pay attention to what someone is telling us so that we don't necessarily go down that path, if at all. And or if we do, we realize, hey, stay on this path. I may end up with one of those bad lungs or having to wear something.
Exactly. If,
yeah,
you threw up,
yeah,
every time you took a puff of a cigarette, you'd never throw up or you'd never smoke, so you'd never get cancer.
Mm.
Now, if the Lord disciplined you that way, you'd never get cancer. But sometimes He just lets you make your own choices in life.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes our self-will can be pretty, you know, thinking that we do try something over and over again expecting a different result, you know.
Well, that's just insane.
Yeah. complete insanity. What is it? Complain insanity. Complete insanity. Let's do this. Let's take a break right now. We'll come back. Let's talk about this thing about the discipline and what that looks like. And how do we discern, how do we tell the difference between the discipline and punishment? Or do we get it? Both. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Our loved ones leave a legacy when they pass from this world, and Cascade Monuments would love to help you honor that legacy in a unique and personalized way. Traditionally, grave markers and headstones only included names, dates, and a simple phrase. But Cascade Monuments would love to help go beyond that to tell the story of your loved one's life. Cascade Monuments can etch onto the stones majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, even faces. And by keeping their overhead low, Cascade Monuments can charge much less for headstones than funeral homes. Find out more and pursue their wide selection of monuments and markers by clicking on the Cascade Monuments logo at faithplace.org.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the studio, in the house here, and we're talking about the discipline of the Lord, which, you know, there are a lot of aspects of the discipline of the Lord. We shared a little bit already about what the discipline is for. It's to get our attention, to be able to seek doing His will in our life, not ours. And that sometimes that becomes very challenging, especially when I mean, we can be pretty stubborn, right? Hard-headed?
Oh, yes, we can.
All right.
Yes, we can. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so it's that we may share in his holiness. It's to correct an action.
Mm-hmm.
And so bad things may come in our life, and we may be thinking, you know, am I being disciplined by the Lord? Am I being punished by him? You know, or maybe this is just happening to me just because. Well, we need to ask ourselves, is there some sin going on in our life? If there's a sin going on in your life that you're living in right now, chances are that it's discipline. Because the Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to live in that sin.
Not that the sin is discipline, but what you actually receive is because of the sin.
The sin itself can, in some situations, become discipline.
But in a lot of situations in life, we're not sure whether or not it is from God disciplining us, or now that you mention it, or if it is a consequence of our behavior. And most of the time, if we look at it, the consequence will still point in the direction of the Lord's discipline. I think that I used the analogy earlier that, hey, if I went and I fired a gun in front of the police department, they would probably come out and arrest me. Now, is that God's discipline or is that the consequence? Well, it's a consequence.
It could be considered both,
yeah,
really, because the Lord put authority there to keep the peace.
Right.
Now, if you repent of that, well, the Lord's going to forgive you instantly, but you still have to deal with the discipline of the state.
That's right.
They are not so forgiving.
Yes. There are laws, and that's what we have to actually abide in, or I should be lawful to, by, you know, trying not to do that. I try to do that in my driving. That's kind of difficult sometimes, you know. Because I have a tendency of thinking, oh, if it says 35 miles an hour, I can go 40. And
39. Okay. Once you hit 40, then you're breaking the law.
Yeah, well, I don't know if 39 is any different than 40 when it comes to, because my son got a speeding ticket, 2 miles over the speed limit. Of course, he was 17 years old, and he was taking out the daughter of the policeman had taken her out. And stop dating her.
I think you could fight that in court.
Yeah, well, anyway, in either case, it didn't matter. We let it go, and he just let my son pay the consequences on that one. So, but actually, I'm the one who did, because my insurance rates went up. So
I would have fought that one.
But anyway, prioritizing. But once again, we're being reminded through his word that we're actually he's trying to get our attention and to let us know that we are to be holy as he is holy. We've got to remember what it is that we actually did when we sought out the Lord and asked him not only to save us, but to be the Lord of our lives, the manager of our lives, to be able to move forward in that sort of thing. It's like, okay, so what is it that I need to be doing differently? Well, those are the things that we need to ask ourselves, but we also need to reach out to those that are around us. You know, so often I think we fall short on this stuff because we don't hear it all the time. We don't hear it all the time because we don't put ourselves in situations where we would receive it all the time or more often. Whether it be listening to radio that is Christian radio, part of a small group or a Bible study, or even part of a ministry, in this case here, a men's ministry.
Well, because sometimes that brings conviction.
Oh,
and that's feels
discomfort.
That is very uncomfortable. Yes, we don't like feeling that.
But you know what? Our suffering that we do in this world doesn't come close to the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross, so that we would have this relationship with Him. And that's the whole purpose: is that we now can go to God at any given time. We don't have to go to a priest to be able to tell us what God is saying or how we need to pray to God. And no, we can have this relationship with the Lord, okay, directly, as a result of it being a new covenant. And now that we are forgiven of our sins at the time that we ask, if we're sincere and repent of those things.
Exactly, if we're sincere. You know, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death."
Yes.
And so it has to be true. It has to be from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and he will forgive us because he loves us that much.
And if we look at it that way, of knowing that we are heirs to the kingdom, that we are sons of God, okay? That we actually, he did get our attention and we did come to him at one time. You wouldn't be listening to this show if you were not at one point have asked the Lord to be the manager of your life, you know? Said, "I can't do this anymore and I need to turn away from this stuff and I'm going to do everything I can to be obedient to what it is that you're saying." And that's what he wants. He wants our sincere desire to be obedient to his commands, okay? And what are those commands? Well, if we get into the Word of God, we come across those all the time. We hear about it. He's given us the directions. It's called the Bible on how to be able to do this sort of thing.
He has. You know, and he does it because he loves us. He wants to lead us down the right path.
Yes.
But the problem is we don't always listen. We're guys. We're hard-headed. You know, people can tell me something, but if I have my mind made up, you know, that the sky is green, you can tell me the sky is blue until you're black and blue.
Yes.
But the problem is, I'm going to tell you the sky is green.
Well, here's something we end up having to do as a result of going through this discipline, and or in some cases, as we've mentioned, that it's more of a consequence as a result of what's taking place. James talks about it. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." So the Lord is trying to let us know that, hey, he's here for us to give us all of these things that we need. Not the things necessarily that we desire. I know there is a proverb that says, hey, the Lord will give us the desires of our heart, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to be
delight
rich
in him. I'm going to, yeah. Well, here's the thing that takes place. Ding, 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 ding. A real awareness one here is that as we draw closer to the Lord and we abide in him and seek him as he commands us to do, in doing so, our heart's desires that used to be there are no longer there. There are new desires. And those are the ones that he's going to give us. The ones that will benefit not only us, but those who are in our lives. Because as men, he's given us responsibilities, right? As fathers, as husbands, and in some cases in the community, as an authority, right?
Yeah. Well, see, at the time, I didn't need to seek the Lord for the desires of my heart. Because I got them on my own. My desire was for pornography.
Yeah.
And I got it. And after every time I was done, I repented of it. And yet, for some reason, I was still having adverse effects in my life, both physical and relational. And I thought, surely, why would God be punishing me? I was raised to believe in a very loving and understanding and forgiving God.
Yes.
So why would God continue to be punishing me if I had repented of this sin that I just committed earlier today or that I committed yesterday? Well, then what happens when the next day comes? I do it again. So I had to ask myself, was I really, truly repentant of that sin?
Mm-hmm. Well, so often we end up getting caught up with not thinking about what we're doing, okay? Even as, you know, as believers, as having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden we get caught up of just all of a sudden we're not mindful of God's presence in our lives. We think sometimes that, you know, I'm kind of trying to be obedient to the Lord, but, you know, that looks like this. I could maybe enjoy this for a little bit, then I'll turn away from it, you know. And that's just playing with fire, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, but he'll forgive me. He'll forgive me if I ask for it. Mm-hmm. That's what I told myself. And he did, when I truly asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, I let it get so bad that I had to receive some severe discipline in the Lord.
Yes.
And it didn't. That discipline did not affect just me. My family shared in that discipline with me because it was my family that suffered, my family that left. Now, when I repented, I got the Lord forgave me. Problem was, is I still had to deal with the earthly consequences of my actions.
Yes, yes. So, back to, because I don't know if we, I think we touched base on it, but you'll have to remind me here. When we talked about God's judgment, or sometimes we feel like he's going to punish us for the things that we've done wrong, right? Isn't that a misconception?
Well, the only place in the Bible you read about God's punishment is the punishment of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tell you, brother, if you're here listening to this, chances are is you're not the wicked. You've turned your life over to Jesus, or you're on the fence about turn your life over to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked despise God. The wicked spit in God's face. That's punishment. That's who he punishes in the fire in the end. You, brother, he wants to save. He wants to come to him. It's not punishment.
Yes.
He loves you. He's disciplining you.
Yeah, and that punishment is, you know, I used to get caught up, and I think I mentioned this to you in a little story earlier, thinking that because I've done something that was maybe not what I should be doing, and then something happens to me, maybe I slam my fingers in the door or something, you know, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting paid back. God's, you know, punishing me as a result of my sin or whatever it was that I was doing that was inappropriate, right?
Some people like to call that karma. God's not karma.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. But I've never used karma before because I wasn't there in that sense. But my point is that I used to always think that it was punishment from God. I always felt that came in line with the fear of God. You know, I had a fear of God growing up in the religion that I was brought up in, and fear of the devil. So I'm running from God, trying to keep from the lightning bolts hitting me, and I was trying to run from the devil who was trying to get me with the pitchfork, right? That's the way that I looked at it. And I mean, I was always running. It was like I couldn't win. I mean, there's got to be a middle ground here, you know? But that was my own concept, my own guilt of the things that I'd heard growing up as a child, right, that I started to believe. And I still believe it, to the point to where I remember it, okay, but not believing it that that's true in my life today. I know that that is no longer a part of it. But I know I'm not alone in that type of thinking. I also know that there are other men out there that feel the same way. They sit there and go, oh, my goodness, yes, I'm being punished by God. Or, you know, something, you did something wrong, then maybe your child got in an accident or broke a leg or something. I mean, I used to, because of the guilt, I'm feeling guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is not of the Lord. That's mm-hmm. not what the Lord does. That's not how he takes us and disciplines us. He disciplines us individually to be able to realize that he wants us to be holy. But he disciplines us so that maybe a certain thing doesn't fall through. It doesn't come together. It doesn't all of a sudden, my plan falls apart. And, you know, that could be the simple fact that God has his hand in your life and he's not allowing this to take place the way that you want it to take place.
Exactly. 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, but when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world.
Yes.
So if you feel that God's throwing lightning bolts your direction, chances are if he really is throwing lightning bolts your direction, it's because you're running towards the devil with the sin that you're in, and God's throwing those lightning bolts in your path trying to stop you from going that direction.
Yeah.
And you try and sidestep it every time, keep heading towards that devil, he's going to keep throwing those lightning bolts because he wants you to turn around and run towards him. That's his desire. That's his heart's desire because he loves you.
So you've got a picture. You just gave me a picture in my mind that I'm going to share about after this next break. because that, it was like, oh my goodness, you know what? You're telling me that lightning bolts, he's throwing it at me again? I'll be right back. We will be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we're in the back side of this topic of discipline of God. And I had mentioned before we went to the break, I said that what Joel had shared reminded me of how I used to think when I was a child. I mentioned about God throwing lightning bolts and, of course, the devil I'm running from it, who's trying to throw in pitchforks or trying to get me with his pitchfork in either case. But anyway, when you were talking about that, well, maybe the Lord was using lightning bolts to kind of throw in front of me or us to keep us from going down the path, right, type of thing, of destruction. And so I had this picture in my mind, and you mentioned it, those cartoons that I used to watch, Looney Tunes, right? Yep. I had this thought of God, this picture of this guy with a beard sitting up in a recliner, a cloud recliner, right, with a quiver of holding all of these lightning bolts in it and just throwing these lightning bolts, just tossing them as he's leaned back right at me, you know, type of thing. And but the simple fact is that, yes, we do have consequences from our behavior on this earth. You know, if they've broken God's law, the likelihood is they probably have broken one of the laws of the land.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, there will be, as my dad used to say, there'll be hell to pay for this, right? And in a sense, there's some truth to that, you know, because the reprimand that takes place sometimes can be pretty painful. May not necessarily come in a physical pain. It could be a financial pain. It could be an emotional pain, to where even, I mean, I used to be a chaplain in the jail, and I'd go in and talk to men in these large cells where there's maybe 12 to 14 guys in it. And these guys didn't know that I would be coming in if they were fairly new into being there, maybe that day or whatever, and I'd be there once a week. On occasion, there would be a guy that would, and I would be in early evening, you know, right after the meal. And so guys are still up. They're reading or playing cards or whatever, checkers or whatever. And every now and then I'd see somebody that I knew. And they'd see me as soon as, and they would turn on their rack. They'd lay down on their rack, I should say, and turn with their back toward me with a blanket over them, you know, so that I wouldn't recognize them. I'd already seen them, but I'm not going to embarrass them. So that alone, because of he's there because he had broken the law, otherwise he wouldn't be in there, right? And as a result of that, that's embarrassing.
Hurts his pride.
Exactly. And so what he, and I'm not going to be one that's going to go around and trying to poke at anybody and say, hey, I saw you in jail and so on and so forth. No. My point being is that we end up, there's so much, such a way that we can get disciplined. Part of that discipline comes this way here. Maybe it's necessary for someone to be able to take on that pain that is of pride, okay, or a financial burden as a result of my sin or breaking of the law type of thing. And the Lord will use all of that to try to get our attention.
Well, and it has to be painful.
Sometimes it has to be really painful.
It really does, because, I mean, if a speeding ticket was a dollar and you never lost your license,
yeah,
everyone would be speeding.
Yes.
They'd be going as fast as they wanted to. So sometimes it has to be painful for us to learn.
Yes.
As kids, sometimes you get spanked. You don't get tickled with the feather.
Yes.
You get spanked. You get tickled with the feather. You just keep doing whatever you wanted to do every time.
Right, right.
You know?
Or if mom came over and just said, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And
kind of like me. I wasn't disciplined as harshly as I should have been.
Yeah.
And so I kept going down the wrong path.
You know, we used to always cry for our mom and run to her when we were little, when my dad was, you know. And every now and then, mom would take a swat at us when we'd run to her, just to remind us that, hey, what you did was wrong, in a sense. And so the Lord wants us to know that. Not that we need to be judged or condemned by others that are our brothers and sisters. There to be understanding, and in some cases when we go to talk to somebody, that they would actually reproof us in a sense of saying, okay, this was incorrect. Don't you see your ways here, how that was, maybe if you had gone a different route or said something differently, it would be taken differently. Hebrews chapter 12. 7-11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are all illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of the spirits and live? For they discipline us a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now you read this earlier.
Yes.
And something told me that I need to read it again. They need to hear it in two different voices. Because you never know where somebody might hear something and who it might come through. The simple fact is that we are the Lord's. We are his sons. He has something in store for us, and he wants us to be able to endure it and to be able to take care of the task at hand. And sometimes this discipline kind of sharpens us too, doesn't it? Gets us prepared and strengthens us, knowing that we have to go to him for the strength. It's his power, not ours.
Yes. You know, and the other thing is we have to know that when we repent, the Lord forgives us.
Yes.
He doesn't continue to hold our sins against us. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Now, there is a punishment for sin. Now, the punishment for sin is death.
Mm.
Adam brought sin into this world, and so he also brought death and sickness into this world. And so there is a punishment for sin. But the fact of the matter is that there is one who has already paid the punishment for sin. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he paid that price. And so when we receive discipline, we are not being punished for our sins. We are being disciplined to be corrected, to go on the right path.
Yes.
But know, brother, that the punishment has been paid and that you can live in peace with the Lord.
Amen. Romans 12:1-2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So discipline is good. It's good that we receive it. You know that you're loved by God. and that he cares for you, and that he truly has a purpose that he's trying to point you toward.
He counts you as a son.
That's it. And that sometimes that's a difficult thing for us to understand, to get. Don't let the enemy, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. The enemy's going to tell you, oh, it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. He's forgiven you. You can go ahead and keep doing this and keep asking for forgiveness over and over and over again. Well, that may be true in a sense, that God may forgive you every time that you come to him with a repentant heart. But the simple fact is that he wants you to take care of something. You may have somebody in your life that you love that doesn't know the Lord yet, that is only to hear it from you. And if you're not disciplined with an awareness of that God is present with you and that you're actually going to be seeking more of him and his will, you may not know what it is that he has in store for you to do with this individual. And it will go on and on and on. It's not going to get done because you're to be the one to do it. So, yeah.
And if you feel you're receiving discipline from the Lord, but you take a look at your life and you say, I'm not living in sin, then you have to ask yourself, is there a hidden sin in my life that's even hidden to me? Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. 24, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so if maybe you feel that there's discipline in your life that is from God, but you don't see a sin in your life, so you wonder, maybe these are just earthly consequences. Maybe I just have bad luck in life.
Yeah.
Maybe God doesn't like me. Well, that's not the case. He likes you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. But maybe there's a sin so deep, so buried in your life that you're blind to it. You have to seek the Lord's advice on that.
You know, even when we have to deal with the consequences of our behavior, okay, that is unlawful on this earth, okay, I think God can actually change some of those consequences and not make them as heavy as they could otherwise be. I've seen that take place where men who are very repentant, they understand that that all of a sudden that their children are taken away from them and their wives have left them, and then all of a sudden that the Lord is actually allowing them to go through so they get to a certain place, but then all of a sudden returns that, where he's actually changed the hearts of those that we've hurt and those that we've harmed so that we would actually be able to say, thank you, Lord, so that we can say, to you be the praise and to you the glory in all things. For these are the things that he's actually called us to do, is to seek him. He wants us to just do everything that we can to follow him.
He does. You know, and I've experienced that in my own life. I'd committed a crime many years ago that then this last year the Lord was convicting me to go and repent of. Now, the Lord's conviction and the sorrow that I felt was his discipline upon me.
Yes.
But I still had to face the human authorities. I still had to face the earthly consequences, but I was ready to do it. I repented of it to the Lord. I needed to repent of it to those who I had wronged. And the Lord removed the earthly consequences, so he is capable of doing so. The Lord restored to me my family that I lost through pornography. But it took time, and it might take time for the Lord to change things in your life.
Yes.
But you have to remember 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Amen.
And so if you feel like you've lived a life of sin, received the Lord's discipline, repented of it, but are still dealing with the earthly consequences, remain strong. Remain strong, brother. Stand fast in the Lord. Continue to worship and praise him in all things and give him glory in all of this.
Yeah, know that everything that you're enduring, okay, be joyful of it. The simple fact that you are loved by the Lord, that he understands how and why you do the things that you do. But he says, hey, I've got other men around you. I got my Apostle Paul and all of those who wrote the in the Bible, all the books and the letters for you to be able to understand that you are not alone, that these same things that are happening to you have happened to those before. And this is what I have done to be able to take care of it. And so as a result of that, we know that he loves us. We have to know that in our heart. And the best thing to do then, brother, is to go forward and to pass that on to someone else. It may be your wife, your children. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that God is there for them. Because there will be one day where you may not be around, but they need to know that God will be there always. And that Jesus, as a result of that, will just continue to just love you and love them. They need to hear that. So, as in 1 Peter 1, all over the place, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's be holy. Attempt to be there, brother. That's the best way. Nice topic today, brother.
Thank you.
You did very well with it. Anyway, would you mind praying for our brothers who are listening?
Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the brothers listening. And Lord God, there is a brother out there who is struggling right now, who is struggling with pain, with suffering, Lord. And all he desires to be close to you is to have his life restored to him. And so, Father, I lift that brother up to you. I lift him up to you, Lord God, and I pray that in your time, for your glory, by your power, that you would restore him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and bring you shalom. There is hope, brother, and you are never, never alone.